A university conducted a research and they found for you to get a job and to sustain the job, 35% depends upon the knowledge of the subject and 65% for you to go up the ladder of success depends upon people's skills. Just knowledge is not sufficient for you to go up the ladder of success. 65% depends upon people's skills. If you're good at networking with people, skillfully managing people, you can go up the ladder of success. And hence this research shows the importance of how you should wisely network with people. And hence people management is a very, very important aspect of management being in this world. There's a very beautiful real incident which happened in Thailand, that there was a huge clay Buddha idol in a monastery and there was a highway which was being created and therefore the Buddha idol had to be transferred to another spot. And as they were transferring this huge Buddha clay idol, it started raining heavily. The Buddhist monk had to keep the idol on the ground and they covered it with tent because it was raining heavily. The chief priest in the middle of the night went into this tent to see that the Buddha idol is intact. When he put the torchlight on the Buddha clay idol, to his great surprise, he found that there was a golden light emanating from this clay idol. He was confused. He went closer, scratched a bit, and the light started becoming brighter. And when he removed the clay, to his great surprise, he found it was not a clay idol, it was a golden idol. And this golden idol is still in Thailand. It is written at the side, the history of this golden idol. It seems when invaders attacked Thailand, this golden idol was there, so they covered the golden idol by clay so that the invaders don't take the golden idol. And it was covered, and afterwards people forgot it was being covered, and therefore they discovered this golden Buddha idol. The story is so beautiful, for it depicts a typical yogic perspective. Outwardly we are like clay, but inwardly there is a golden Buddha in each one of us. Externally we are like clay, but internally there is a golden Buddha in each one of us. And if I can look at each one, that externally they may be like clay, but internally there is Godhood in each one of them. And in this perspective, if you start relating to people and helping people to allow the inner Buddha to surface out and not get lost in the external, this is a wise way of relating to people. In working with people, if you have this perspective, there is Godhood in each one of us, and this Godhood is covered by this ignorant mind. As Kabir, a great saint in India, says, Chalti chakki dekhi ke diya kabira roy, do patan ke beech mein sabat bacha na koi. Kabir says, when I look at people, Chalti chakki dekhi ke diya kabira roy, means your mind is constantly like a grinding machine, constantly being grinded, and therefore he says that anything in the grinding machine, in the grinding stone, if it is put, how it is crushed. In the so-called ignorant mind, our happiness, our so-called Godhood is as though crushed. So if we can go beyond the mind, you can discover the God within us. And therefore in working with people, if we can help people to discover the divine in them and allow the divine to flow, that's the best way of motivating, empowering people. All powerful people bring out the best in others, bring out the God in others. All powerless people make people feel bad, make people feel miserable. Please understand, in managing people, there is a melting point in every one of us, be it a dacoit, be it a thief. We should have the commitment, we should have the perseverance, we should have the skill, we should have the intelligence to go on to see that the melting point turns from negativity to positivity. This happened in the life of Lord Buddha. Lord Buddha was passing through, and when he was passing through near forest, people living in the forest said there, please don't go to this area because there is a great dacoit called Angulimala, and whoever he meets, he kills and cuts the finger and puts it on his neck, and therefore he was called as Angulimala. Anguli is a thumb, mala is a chain. He is to kill people, take their thumb and then put a chain as it were on his neck, and he had cut 999 fingers. He was waiting for the 1000th finger, and Lord Buddha was passing that side, so they all advised him not to go. But Buddha said, I must meet this person who is killing people, and therefore it seems Buddha went, met Angulimala. As Angulimala, the dacoit, saw Buddha coming, Angulimala recognized he is a monk and told him, stop, don't come near me. And Lord Buddha, it seems, told him, I have stopped. It is you who are constantly running. Angulimala could not understand this dialogue. And therefore, this whole conversation turned to such an extent that Lord Buddha had the commitment to transform Angulimala and made him realize that killing is a simple affair, but joining is a very important dimension. And therefore, by his whole conversation, he transformed Angulimala, and the story goes that Angulimala became Lord Buddha's disciple and he became a monk. By this example, I'm trying to convey to you that Buddha had the commitment to transform and bring the God in the other. And there is a melting point in each one of us. And if this perception is clear, and I call this perception as a yogic perception, if it is clear that there's Godhood in each one of us, there is a Paramatma, there is a higher self in each one of us, and there is a Jivatma, the lower self in each one of us, we have to eliminate the lower self and bring the higher self. You will be able to skillfully manage working with people. Andrew Carnegie was a very great industrialist in America. He was known for creating among his customers millionaires. Even customers used to become millionaires. And when somebody asked Andrew Carnegie what was his secret of success that even his customers have become millionaires, to which Andrew Carnegie said, the secret of my success working with people is I have the patience of a gold miner. To dig gold, you have to remove lot of dust and you will get little gold. In working with people, you should have the patience of a gold miner. Lot of dust, lot of garbage will come, and as it is removed, you will discover gold. And that's what any gold miner knows. Any gold miner knows that to get little gold, you have to remove lot of dust. Working with people, a lot of dust has to be removed to discover a little gold. If you have this patience, then you can very successfully, dexterously deal with people. There's a very beautiful incident which happened. It is said that a group of Red Indians came across a beautiful, huge treasure box. The Red Indians, being primitive people at that point of time, knew this is a beautiful treasure box. Some gold, some diamonds must be in this box. But being primitive people at that point of time, they did not know how to open this treasure box. They tried primitive methods by jumping on it, using magical spells. They put water, they danced on it, they put fire on it, but nothing happened. They got disgusted. They went on the top of the mountain and pushed the treasure box, and still the box did not open. They cursed and said there must be some magic spell, and they walked out cursing. It seems after some time, American soldiers were passing that side. They saw this treasure box and they knew something very valuable was inside this treasure box. So what they did, being educated people, they knew this box is locked. They arrived at the right key, opened the lock, and then inside the treasure box was a lot of gold, diamonds, rubies. For me, this story is very, very significant and beautiful. Each one of us are like a treasure box. The wise way is we should find out where people are locked, where people are trapped, arrive at the right key and unlock the lock, and then you will discover the treasure in people. But if we act like primitive Red Indians, then you jump on the treasure box, but you're not working on the lock. So if you can look at each one of us, we are a treasure box. Inside us is the divine, but we are locked by ignorance, locked by some superstition. And if you can arrive at the right key and unlock, then you will find there is a treasure in each one of us. And hence the yogis tell us there is Jivatma and Paramatma. And to discover the Paramatma, the higher self, is very important. And we have to help people to renounce the lower self and reveal to them the higher self. And if one does that, one skillfully deals with people. In all my workshops, people ask me this question, Swamiji, how to deal with difficult people? I always tell them, to deal with difficult people, first find out where are you coming from. Are you coming from commitment? Are you coming from complaint? When you come from commitment, a difficult person is an opportunity, is a challenge. When you come from complaint, the difficult person is a curse. First thing is you have to change yourself. Are you coming from commitment? Are you coming from complaint? And invariably, when people meet difficult people, they always complain. And when the moment they complain, the energy called complaint will not give them the power to find out the lock in which they are locked. But if you come from commitment, somewhere the commitment will give you the acuity to discover the key to unlock the lock and discover the treasure in the other person. So I always answer that to deal with difficult people, more than focusing on the other, see where are you coming from. Are you coming from commitment? Are you coming from complaint? In the Indian tradition, we say, are you coming from sankalpa? Sankalpa means commitment. And the moment you come from sankalpa, a tremendous intelligence will dawn on you. And through that intelligence, you will be able to use whatever life gives you. Rather than being a victim to the situation, you will become a victor. So dealing with difficult people, first thing I say, look into yourself. The second thing I say in dealing with difficult people, I call it as the six R's. Rapport, recognize, recall, rethink, retrain, relook. And if you can use these six dimensions skillfully, you will find a lot of power opens up in people management. A study was done and they found in interpersonal relationship, the most important dimension of interpersonal relationship is rapport building. The art of building a rapport is the most important dimensions in people's skills. Now, what is rapport? Rapport building is the art of building bridges among people and not walls among people. Are you building bridges among people? Are you building walls among people? The art of building bridges among people is the art of building a rapport. To give you an example, it's a real incident which happened in my life. When I was giving a series of talks on Bhagavad Gita in Kolar, which is a part of South India, I was giving a series of talks, and then the principal of a school invited me to come and give a talk in their junior college. So I went there to give a talk in the junior college, And it was my first experience going and talking to this school and especially to the college students. As I was entering the college, I found these teenagers mischievously looking at me and singing a film song, Dam Are Dam. They were singing a film song. And it was like kind of teasing me. So I was going into the hall. I knew what was up their sleeves. They wanted to create trouble to me. I sat on the dais. The principal was introducing me. There were about 1,000 students, all of them mischievously looking, and their body language was clearly telling me, you start your speech and we'll start our aeroplanes. If I just continue speaking in my prepared speech, I will not be able even to end my speech. So therefore I asked this question as the principal was introducing me. A, what should I do now to connect to people? I had seen an old English movie of Sidney Poitier, To Serve with Love, where the students create a lot of difficulty to the teacher, and the teacher built a rapport, and since he built a rapport, at the end of the movie, they became friends. This movie came in a flash in my mind, and I said, now I have to build a rapport. And to build a rapport, the most important principle in rapport building is people like who are like themselves. I asked this question, what do the children like? They like a lot of movies. Therefore, I started off my speech with film song. When I started off my speech, the popular film song, they were shocked to see a monk quoting a film song instead of a scripture. Suddenly, their eyes were popping. Now, my whole intention was to build a rapport. Then I quoted another film song. I could literally see the children's eyes opening up and saying, hey, this is our Swamiji. He knows our world. And the moment I built a rapport with them, I started saying whatever I wanted to say. And for 1 hour, there was absolute pin drop silence. And the principal acknowledged me at the end, Swamiji, I was so surprised because every speaker, the students don't allow them to complete the speech itself. I only built a rapport. Have you seen grandmothers feeding grandchildren? The grandchild does not want to eat. The grandmother brings a piece of idli. And the grandchild says, no. The grandmother says, what is in the top of the tree? The grandchild says, a crow. What does the crow do? The grandmother asks. The child says, ka, opens his mouth, and the mother splashes idli in the mouth. In the same way, I make people laugh, then I splash whatever I want to splash there. And therefore, to build a rapport is the most important dimension of people skills. So first thing in understanding, working with people is learn to build a rapport. And one of the most important principles of rapport building is people like who are like themselves. The second R is recognize. Recognize what? Recognize people's blocks. Recognize people's blind spot. So if you have a person who's difficult, understand there is some block, there is some lock, there is some blind spot. You have to recognize what block people are trapped in. You can help them only when you know what is their blind spot. So I say the second R is recognize people's blocks. Now, there's so many blind spots people have. For example, one of the blind spots is called generalization trap. In my life workshops, I work on this elaborately. And there was one person who got up and said, Swamiji, all women are flirts. I was shocked. I said, all women are flirts? He said, Swamiji, all women are flirts. Again, I asked him, mean all women are flirts? Then he told me, no, Swamiji, all Western women are flirts. Then I further looked into it because I saw that person's trap was a generalization trap. He said, all Western women are flirts? How do you know? He says, because of my experience. And I've stayed, Swamiji, in the West. I asked him, where did you stay? In only one place, he tells me, in Frankfurt. I asked him, how long did you stay? For a long time. I asked him, how long? He says, 6 months. In 6 months, staying in a place called Frankfurt, he is generalizing all women are flirts. Now all Western women are flirts. He said he has stayed a long time and it is only 6 months. Then I asked him, how many people have you met? How many women have you met? A lot of women, Swamiji, he said. But how many women? Can you be roughly specific? He said, at least about 40 women. I said, of the 40 women, how many do you really know closely? He said, 10. Of the 10, I asked him, how many did you ditch? How many they ditched you? And with a smile, he says, to be very honest, Swamiji, 4 I ditched, 6 they ditched me. Now just see, friends, like how he is caught up in a generalization trap. Friends, in working with people, you have to be very sharp to see what traps people are caught. Some are caught in generalization trap. And when they're caught in generalization trap, you have to skillfully help people to make them realize that you are generalizing. And when you generalize, you will miss seeing specifics in life. I find working with people another trap in which people are caught. I call this as a forecasting trap. They go on forecasting, they go on projecting. And when they go on projecting, before the trouble comes, they're already in trouble. There was a middle-aged managing director of a company who hired a young blue-eyed blonde as a secretary. And this young blue-eyed blonde as a secretary, she has gone through many communication workshops and she was very skillful networking with people. She learned to smile through her eyes, very keeping herself very, very alive. And this orthodox managing director was getting confused that every time the secretary smiles, he was forecasting, I think she's interested in me. In fact, she was just smiling, but he was forecasting. And then it seems one day, the secretary with a smile told the managing director, please come home for dinner. Now, this person has this forecasting trap. When the moment she said, please come home for dinner, he started forecasting. Definitely is interested in having a relationship with me. He felt very happy, wore the best of suits. As he went to her house, his internal self-talk was, hey, she called me for dinner, not for lunch. And therefore, it is very, very clear she's interested in me. He started forecasting. When he went to her house, there was candlelit dinner, beautiful soft music. The whole ambience proved to him that she's definitely interested in a romantic relationship with him. He was very, very happy. He was forecasting. She came, offered him wine. They drank wine. Both of them got up and she said, please take your coat and come inside the room. Now he started forecasting. She said, take the coat out. That means definitely she's interested in me. Now he removed the coat, and not only removed the coat, he removed the pant and the shirt also. And inside the room, the secretary said, please come carefully because it is dark. And this person was outside the room. When she said it's dark, come carefully, again his forecasting mind said, definitely she's interested in me. Why the room has to be dark? And therefore, whatever little dress he had on him, he even removed that. Naked, he goes into the room. The room is dark. Suddenly, the light is put on and all the members of the staff started singing, happy birthday to you. It was his birthday. They wanted to give a surprise and he comes with a birthday suit that is naked. And if you have this forecasting pattern in your mind and you will never be with what is, you'll always go on projecting on something which is in the future. In life, there are infinite things you have, there are infinite things you don't have. And if you always look on what you don't have, is a sure way of being unhappy. Listen to this beautiful example. It seems Mullah Nasiruddin, a Sufi character, was very, very sad. And his friends come to him and say, why are you sad, Mullah? And Mullah tells his friends, because my uncle has passed away and in his will, he has donated 50 lakhs of rupees. His friend was shocked. He said, Mullah, I know that uncle of yours, he has given you 50 lakhs of all the nephews he has given you. And secondly, that uncle is a very old man. He must be very happy. Mullah said, that is not the point. 3 weeks back, another uncle has died and he has donated 60 lakhs of rupees. Again, the friends told Mulla, you must be very happy of all the nephews they have given you, and that uncle who has died is an old man, he's 95 years old, you must be happy. Mulla says, that's not the point. Yesterday another uncle died, and in his will he has donated 1 crore of rupees and he has died. Again the friends were shocked and said, Mulla, that uncle who has died, he is 105 years old. Of all the nephews he has given you, you have so many millions of rupees, you must be very, very happy. But that's not the point, says Mulla. The friends get so annoyed, he says, what the hell is the point? I'm not able to understand why you're unhappy. Mulla says, I'm unhappy not because they donated money to me. I'm unhappy not because they died. I'm unhappy because there are no more uncles to die. My friends, just look. What an effective way of being miserable. A lot of people are like this. They always get focused on what is missing. Infinite things we have, infinite things we don't have. And if you're always drowned on what you don't have, you start invalidating what you have. And if this invalidating pattern of the mind exists, such a person, you put him in heaven, he'll convert heaven into hell. And therefore, friends, in working with people, you have to find out what trap people are in. You have to recognize their block. So some people have generalization trap, some people have forecasting trap, some people go on getting focused on what is missing. Then people ask me, Swamiji, we should not focus on what is missing. I say, no, you should be grateful to what you have and you should work on what you don't have, not that you should focus on what is missing. Whatever you have, be grateful, rejoice, be happy, and work on what you don't have. And therefore, friends, like this, there are multiple traps an individual has got. And therefore, the second important dimension in dealing with difficult people is recognize their blocks. What blocks? There are multiple blocks. So first is build a rapport. Second is recognize the block. The third R is recall the block. What is recall? Now, if somebody is very, very difficult, their difficulty might have emerged from their childhood. You have to heal their childhood so often. Therefore, I call it as recall. I've seen so many people when they are young have been sexually abused. And if they are sexually abused as a child, and even if they are married, the scar of their sexual abuse as children continues, and that will start interfering in people's marriage. One husband complained to me that my wife is not free in a relationship with me, Swamiji. I worked with her separately. I asked, what's your problem? And I found his wife had undergone sexual abuse when she was a child. And therefore that scar still continues in her. And when she's married, even though the husband is a beautiful person, but the memory of her childhood abuse still starts interfering in her daily life of a relationship with a good husband. And therefore I have seen lot of people, there is a dissatisfaction of the past which gives a distaste to the present, which leads to the distrust to the future. And if this happens, it's a sure way of being miserable. So there's a dissatisfaction of the past, which leads to a distaste to the present. Now this girl, this lady, had a sexual abuse. There's a dissatisfaction of the past. Now at present, her husband is a beautiful person, but the past is interfering in the present. So there's a distaste to the present. It is like eating a sweet with a wrapper on. Something is sweet, but the wrapper prevents you in experiencing the sweetness. So the dissatisfaction of the past leads you to the distaste to the present. The distaste to the present leads you to the distrust to the future. And when you distrust the future, you always live in doubt, doubt, and doubt. And doubt starts killing people. So therefore, please see, your past is unhappy, the present becomes unhappy, the future becomes so foggy and unhappy, and you start doubting, doubting. And when you start doubting, the Lord in the Gita says, Samshayatma Vinashyati. A person constantly doubting, he is nearly perished. Have you seen some people? they tell a lie, they can't even trust their lies also. Mullah Nazruddin, a Sufi character, found lot of kids making noise in front of his house. So Mullah came out and told the kids, Sheikh Abdullah is distributing gold coins for his 60th marriage anniversary about 5 streets away. The moment Mullah told this lie so that the kids will run away and he can sleep peacefully, all the kids ran. And as the kids ran, Mullah is also running behind. His wife told Mullah, why are you running? Mullah says, I know I am lying, but in case the lie becomes true, he can't even trust his own lies. Mullah is a beautiful Sufi character which lot of stories are spun around him to convey beautiful truths. How people can't trust. Lord Krishna in the Gita says, Shraddhavan labhate jnanam. You need trust to live life wisely. And if you doubt, you can't even trust. So there's an incident in the life of Mullah that he was on a multi-story building. The whole building was on fire. People came out and said, Mullah, jump from the building. We are holding the carpet because there's no other way for you to come. Mullah on the top of the terrace looks at them and says, don't think I'm such a stupid guy to get fooled by you. I can't trust you people. The friend said, Mullah, jokes apart, there's no other way. Jump on the carpet and thus we'll save you. We are holding the carpet. Mullah says, I can't trust you. Now, what is the alternative? Asked the crowd. And Mullah said, keep the carpet on the ground and then I will jump. There are people who can't even trust. And this is what happens. There's a dissatisfaction of the past, which leads you to the distaste to the present, which leads you to the distrust to the future. And now when that happens, life becomes miserable. And therefore, difficult people, invariably, you will find there's a victim to their past. So when I say recall, I mean if a person is difficult, recognize the block. If the block is generalization, is the trap. The second is recall. How this block has emerged in them? What has been their genesis? Maybe it is childhood. And if it is childhood, somewhere you have to learn to heal the childhood block. So therefore, recognize, recall. Having recall, then you should help that person to rethink differently. Rethink. Rethink means make him think differently. Please understand, there are 3 E's. If you understand these 3 E's, it will help you very much. One is, there is an environment E. Second, experience. Third E is education. Environment, experience, education. Now, people are impacted by the environment. If you are living with all negative people, the environment will have a negative impact. The chances are it will have a negative impact. Experience is, now a person may have gone through a bad experience like child abuse. So experience also alters your life. Environment also alters your life. Powerless people are a victim to environment, victim to experience. But powerful people bring the third E called education. And if you bring in the education, then irrespective of the environment, irrespective of the experience, you will use education wisely. And if you can use education wisely, then you will see when bad things happen to good people, they become better and not bitter. So this aspect of education is very, very important in making life very beautiful. If you continue doing what you have done, you will get what you have got, is a famous management jargon. Learn to think differently. Look at all scientists. They always have thought differently. Please listen to this example. It may not be a very pleasant example, but it is a very true example. In English, the word bullshit means useless, means scrap. But some creative person looked at bullshit with creative eyes. He thought differently, and thus gobar gas came into existence. So therefore, what is considered as crap, because he thought differently, he could create gas out of it and he became rich. This is what is called rethink. Look into the life of Walt Disney, who created the Mickey Mouse, etc. Lot of his cartoons were rejected, and it seems a person called him to draw cartoons, and he was in the garage of a certain church. The garage was infested with rats. The rats were going up and down, up and down. And Walt Disney, with creative eyes, he went on looking at the rats. And as he was looking at the rats there, suddenly this idea came of the Mickey Mouse. When Mickey Mouse was created, and you know, kids are crazy of Mickey Mouse. And Walt Disney became such a rich person. He thought differently. So rethinking is very, very important in life. First, in dealing with difficult people, learn to build a rapport. Second is recognize people's block. Third is recall. Look at their genesis. Fourth, rethink. Fifth is retrain. Thinking differently is one thing. You have to train people to act on their different thinking. That's why in my workshops called Life, I tell people how to be happy and make them act on happiness. And therefore, at the end of my workshops, people will be literally dancing out of ecstasy, physically dancing. I not only make them think differently, I make their body act on that different thinking. This is called retraining. And lastly, relook. Relook freshly with new eyes. You look there and see what has worked, what has not worked with dealing with people. And each time you look freshly, newly, a new idea may emerge. And therefore, in dealing with difficult people, what is very, very important is applying the 6 R's. First, learn to build a rapport with people. Second, recognize their block. Third, recall their block. Fourth, rethink. Fifth, retrain. Sixth, relook what has worked, what has not worked. And if it has not worked, again, recognize what's the block. And thus, working with them proactively is coming from commitment and not coming from complaint. And if one can skillfully go through this, then you will find there is a melting point in each one of them. You have to only arrive at the right key to unlock their lock, and then you will find a great hidden treasure within each one of us. And therefore, in yoga, there's a Sanskrit expression which says, Jivatma Paramatma. Jivatma is the lower self, Paramatma is the higher self. Everybody has the higher self, lower self. At present, we are locked into the lower self, and motivating, empowering people is making them get locked into the higher self and not the lower self. This process is empowering people. For that to happen, you have to come from commitment and not from complaint. In working with people, building a rapport is a skill that one has to constantly sharpen. I find roughly, if you can break people into two dimensions, some people are logical, some people are kinesthetical. And in fact, people are logical and kinesthetical. Now, in building a rapport, you have to find if people are logical, talk to them logically, and then you will build a rapport. If some people are kinesthetic, playful, talk to them playfully, and then you will build a rapport. So find out, are they a logical type or there is a kinesthetical type? And if you can empower and motivate people to bring the feeling and the logic, then when logic and feeling both emerge, that person becomes a very whole person. In Sanskrit, there's a beautiful expression which says, if a stupid person learns logic, the logic becomes stupid. Just being logic without feeling, then that person becomes stupid. Somebody wanted to learn logic, and therefore he went to a professor and asked this question to him, I want to learn logic, will you teach me? The professor of logic said, the logic is very simple. Okay, I'll teach you right now. Do you like fishes? He said, yes. That means, the professor says, then you like water. He asked, what is the logic? Because fishes like water. So therefore, you like fishes? Yes. That means you like water, because fishes like water. So this person nodded his head. Then he said, then you like everybody. He says, how I like everybody? Because everybody likes water. So therefore, I'm teaching you logic. You like fishes? Yes. That means you like water. Then means you like everybody, because everybody likes water. Therefore, you like everybody. And therefore, you are not a homosexual. Now, this is the first class. Now, he said, okay, I've learned logic. He went home and met his friend who was a vegetarian. He told his friend, you know, I have learned logic. The friend said, you have learned logic. Will you teach me? He said, I'll teach you. Do you like fishes? He asked him. And that friend said, no, I don't like fishes. Then he said, that means you are a homosexual. See, this is what he said. If a stupid person learns logic, the logic becomes stupid. And therefore, please understand, it is just not logic in life. It is feeling also. And therefore, both these dimensions of feeling and logic are there hidden in each one of us. It all depends what surfaces out and what is hidden. In dealing with people, you have to build a rapport of what is visible. You have to invoke what is invisible. And if you invoke what is invisible, you will have a healthy relationship with people. And therefore, people management rapport becomes such a very important dimension. In people management, another very important dimension is your whole approach towards people. What is your important approach towards people? You have to learn to be a powerful leader in life. And to be a powerful leader in life, what is very important are different leadership styles. There is one style of leadership which is an authoritative style, which, you know, very authoritative. Second leadership style is a negotiating style. Third leadership style is a persuading leadership style. Fourth leadership style is an empowerment leadership style. And a good, powerful leader has all the four styles with him. There are some people who are only authoritative. They only bulldoze people. You will find you can never build a rapport with people. The second people will always negotiate. Again, it is not very healthy if you are only negotiating. Some people are very good in persuading, but for everything, they'll go on persuading. And that is also not a healthy style. And the fourth is an empowerment style. Empowerment style includes all the three, but doesn't get limited to all the three. And empowering leadership at times is authoritative, at times he is negotiating, at times he is persuading, and therefore he includes all the three. At the same time, he approaches the lock and key approach. What is the lock? What is the key? And therefore, in people management, the flexibility of all the four styles is very, very important. A next important dimension in people management is the style of your communication. Communication plays a very important dimension. In the Bhagavad Gita, they said there are three styles of communication. One is called Vidandavada, second is Jalpavada, third is Samvada. Vidandavada are two people are talking. I don't like the other person, and since I don't like the other person, my whole intention is to make the person wrong. That is called Vidandavada. Second is Jalpavada. I present a point of view. Somebody points out the fallacy of the point of view. I know I am wrong, but I still hold on to the point of view because I have said it. It is called Jalpavada. If you look into people, some people want to make others wrong. Some people want to prove themselves. Now, this is not a healthy communication. The Bhagavad Gita talks about Samvada, the third type of communication, where I am not interested in proving myself, not interested in proving somebody wrong. I am more interested to see what is truth. Not my truth, but what is truth. And when one comes from the background of Samvada, I am interested in truth, not point of view. And when you communicate in that style, Samvada communication is a typical yogic approach. And Kabir, in one of his doha, says, such a person when he speaks, I see vani boliye man ka aapa koi, auran ko sheetal kare, aapuhu sheetal hoi. You speak in such a way where your words cool the other and also cool yourself. And therefore the Veda says, raso vai saha, keep your whole being juicy. And a juicy person when he speaks, jihwa me madhumattama, honey will flow through your tongue. Honey will flow through your tongue, and hence this communication operating from samvada is another very important dimension in the perspective of yoga. The most important dimension in people's skills from the yogic perspective is operating from emptiness and fullness. You have to learn the art of operating from emptiness and fullness. That's why this mudra is called Chin Mudra. If you see Hindu gods, they are in a mudra called Chin Mudra, where the pointing finger merges with the thumb. When the pointing finger merges the thumb, inside both of it there is emptiness. At the same time, it is fullness also. It is called Chin Mudra. In working with people, you have to learn to be empty when people criticize you, when people give accusations to you. If you can just learn to be empty, if you act out of fullness, is the most important yogic skill working with people. At any point of time, you will have people criticizing you. And if people are criticizing you, practice the Chin Mudra. Just be empty. And if you are empty, the words will never affect you. And when you have to talk to them, act on them, then act out of fullness. For this emptiness can be viewed as emptiness. This emptiness is also viewed as fullness. And this is the meaning of the word Chin Mudra. And therefore, the most important Eastern yogic approach is being with people inwardly, be empty so the others' criticisms don't affect you. When you act, the same emptiness becomes fullness. And when you act out of fullness, the power of fullness will start motivating people. Very important in life, while motivating others, you also have to keep yourself motivated. And for that to happen, learn to be empty and learn to convert the emptiness as fullness. And if that skill you develop, then a very powerful dimension opens up. If a flute is given to a musician like Hariprasad Chaurasia, he can create magic out of the flute. Lord Krishna has a flute. Now if you look at a flute, it is empty, but in the hands of Lord Krishna or any flute person, he knows how to use that emptiness so beautifully that beautiful music comes out of the flute. Exactly in the same way, life is empty. If you know how to use emptiness wisely, music will come. And therefore, flute in Lord Krishna's lips means learn to use that emptiness with fullness. But if an unintelligent person is given a flute, only noise will come out of the flute. But to a musician, when a flute is given, music flows. And this is the Eastern message, that can you be empty like a flute? In one way, flute is empty. In another way, the same emptiness as fullness. So too, life, if you can be empty and out of emptiness, when you operate, it becomes fullness. And therefore, to operate from emptiness and to operate from fullness is the meaning of Chin Mudra. And with this background, if you can network with people, you will not only empower yourself, but you will also empower others. And this is the yogic approach in dealing with people. Please listen to this tape more than once and develop the skill of how to skillfully network with people. May God bless you.